pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. Welcome, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Friday, June the 2nd, currently 5:04 on the East Coast, here to talk about the Saturday games. We'll dig into some, a few games that we do like, so lock, dog, and total, and then we'll also talk about the AL East division, get updates on that division, and see if there's any future bets that we can take advantage of. And joining me here, the man's heart rate is through the roof right now, so he may be a little distracted. We're both distracted here, but we got a lot of money on the line here, but it's the tennis god himself. You can find him on the Tennis Gambling Podcast, WNBA, NBA. Of course, you're on MLB and the NFL Gambling Podcast. It's Scott Studio Reichel. Scott, how you feeling, my man?
I'm nervous. I mean, I'm in a good spot, though. I should say we are in a good spot. Shout out to the people that tailed on the Tennis Gambling Podcast. But long story short, I have a +210 underdog and a +900 underdog in the same match. And I'm currently on the verge of potentially cashing, middle of the final set, so it's a stressful time, but I'll tell you what, for 3 hours and 45 minutes, it's been a hell of a way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah, if you haven't been in the Discord in the tennis channel, it has been popping off with Scott's dog of the day. A lot of people on it. Looks like we're in the driver's seat right now. I don't know if you're updated yet. I know I'm a little bit ahead of you, Scott, but yeah, I think this is a great reminder to let the people know. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the Tennis Gambling Podcast with Scott in the middle of, I guess we could say they're in the middle of it in the French Open. Scott puts out a show almost every single night for the Tennis Gambling Podcast, so make sure to tune in. And you can sweat with us a 2-1 underdog, depending on the price that you get, and also a 9-1 dog that he gave out in the same match. So we'll keep you updated as we kind of go along here, but hey, we're here to talk about the Saturday games, kind of go through a log, dog, and total. We'll also maybe dig into some games that Scott and I both like. And like I mentioned, we'll also talk about the AL East division. But Scott, where do you want to start? You want to start talking about the AL East division, or you want to get into our picks?
I'll let you pick, whichever you prefer.
Let's get into our picks here first. We can kind of go through it. We'll just go log, dog, and total, and then we'll kind of work our way from there. So why don't we start with the total? I'll lead it off here. I'm going to go over to that game on Saturday between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Atlanta Braves. And we have starting pitchers on the mound of Spencer Strider for the Atlanta Braves. And then Ryan Nelson gets a start for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I am going to jump on the Atlanta Braves team total over in this game. That number is probably going to be around 5 or 5.5, depending on your book. But Scott, I'm just simply fading Ryan Nelson here. He hasn't been very good thus far this season for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, the Arizona Diamondbacks have won 4 straight starts with Nelson on the mound, but he is very prone to giving up runs. I know he's been pretty solid over the last 3 games, where he has a 1-0 record with a 3.31 ERA. But at home thus far this season in Arizona, he is 2-1 with a 6.75 ERA, 30 and two-thirds innings pitch. He's allowed 23 earned runs in that span. And you also kind of take a look at his home starts and what he's given up to the opposition. I'm trying to pull that up here as we speak. So give me just 1 second. At home thus far this season, I believe the over is 4-1 in Nelson's starts. Let's see here. Give me 1 second if I could get this query correct. Yeah, so they're 4-1 in his starts towards the over, and the opposition have scored at least 6 runs in 4 out of those 5 games for the against Ryan Nelson. So I'm expecting this number to come out around 5.5, maybe with some plus money here, Scott, but I'm just going to fade Nelson here. I trust this Braves offense in a hitter's ballpark to get at least 6 runs in this game.
Yeah, for me, I can definitely agree with that angle. The Braves had a bit of a disappointing showing against the Athletics over the last couple of days, but they're still a very good offense. So, yeah, you get no arguments from me.
All right, do you have a total for us?
Yeah, so for the total in this one, I'm going to go to the Brewers and Reds game. You have Rhea, I believe that's how it's pronounced, going up against Ashcraft. I'm going to go with the over in that one. We know that it's a hitters-friendly ballpark in Cincinnati. I am not a Rhea guy whatsoever. I don't think he's particularly good. And to be honest, Ashcraft was a guy that I kind of liked last year, but then he got injured, and it seems like he hasn't really been the same pitcher since. I'm trying to see if I can find the exact line here. It's at 10, which I think is high for a good reason. Now, the Brewers cannot hit lefties to save their lives, but they are very good against, they are pretty good against righties. So I'm going to go with the over 10. I know it's a relatively high number. Maybe you can make an argument on maybe ignoring the bullpens, because Cincinnati's bullpen's actually been okay, with the exception of yesterday's game against Boston, where they gave up like 6 runs in the eighth inning, I think. But either way, I'm going to go with the over 10 in that Brewers and Reds game. I don't really trust the pitchers, and I think both lineups can get some damage done. Reds have been really good offensively lately, so I think that they're a bit undervalued. Maybe you like the Reds team total over if you want to ignore the Brewers, but I definitely like the over in some capacity in that game.
Yeah, I was looking at that one as well, and I think the only thing that did scare me was, or I stick for tonight, on the Friday night game, is where the total is also set at around 10, and what made me concerned was that the Brewers aren't very good against left-handed pitching, but that total is right back at around 10.5. It's 10.5 right now between the Brewers and the Reds for tomorrow with Graham Ashcraft, who hasn't been very good at all. I was eyeballing this for my total as well. But yeah, you're not going to get any argument from me because I was just looking at this. You go ahead and interrupt me anytime you want to celebrate. So
+900. Let's get it done. Let's go. +900 on the tennis podcast. Let's go. Varias, thank you very much. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, that was a hell of an almost 4 hour sweat. He got down. Was it the first 2 sets or the first set he got? First set he got down.
He lost the first set, then he won next two, then lost the fourth and won the
fifth.
Then
we went to a fifth. Yeah, there you go. So this is a good reminder. Make sure to tune into the Tennis Gambling Podcast with Scott, putting out episodes every single night early in the morning. So again, hey, if you didn't listen, you missed out on a +210, +215, and also
I think I actually uploaded it before game one last night. I actually uploaded it pretty early.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. Look at you getting out.
I know. I'm proud of myself. Pat on the back.
Pat yourself on the back. All right. So, yeah, you could take a breath there, Scott, and I'm gonna pay some bills here. The newest sponsor on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, that is going to be Edge Boost. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use to create an awesome middle or even a hedge opportunity, or put even more money down on some French Open picks by Scott, and he's going to cash you out. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest. Do you know of a way to access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? You don't need to borrow it from your grandpa or your grandma or your aunt or uncle to find that hedge opportunity or get down on futures. Hey, Edge Boost is here for that. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Scott. So those were our totals. Let's go over to our dog picks of the Saturday schedule. And I will go over to the game between the Houston Astros and the Los Angeles Angels. I'm currently seeing that it's going to be Patrick Sandoval on the mound for the Angels and Christian Javier on the mound for the Houston Astros. And this is another fade of a pitcher that has struggled mightily against the Houston Astros and Patrick Sandoval. Now, I know he is a left-handed pitcher, and the Astros haven't been doing very well thus far this season against left-handed pitching. But thus far on the season, I know Patrick Sandoval has been respectable, 3-4 with a 3.42 ERA. He does have 36 strikeouts and 22 walks. He did face the Astros earlier this season where he went 6 1/3 innings pitch. He allowed 7 hits and 4 earned runs to the Houston Astros. The Angels have lost each of his last 3 starts to the Guardians, to Minnesota, and also to the Miami Marlins. But against the Astros in his career, Patrick Sandoval has struggled mightily. He is 0-4. With a 7.55 ERA, 25 strikeouts and 8 appearances versus the Houston Astros. And on the road in Houston, Patrick Sandoval in his career is 0-2 with a 9.18 ERA, 17 strikeouts and 5 appearances. You take a look this season for Patrick Sandoval. I'm trying to pull up his numbers here on the road. He is actually 2-2 with a 3.20 ERA. So, across the board, he's very respectable. The season hasn't been too bad, but the Houston Astros have really been his kryptonite throughout his career. And on the flip side, you get Christian Javier getting the start here for the Houston Astros. Thus far this season, Christian Javier has a record of, 6-1 with a 2.97 ERA. At Minute Maid Park at the Juice Box, he's 3-1 with a 2.93 ERA. During the day, 3-1 with a 2.51 ERA. Did face the Angels earlier this season, back on May 10th in LA, Anaheim. 6 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts in that game, only allowed 2 earned runs. The Astros squeaked by with a 5-4 victory in that game. But I think what's been more impressive here for me, Scott, with Christian Javier against the Angels in his career, he is 4-1 with a 2.65 ERA, 63 strikeouts in 9 appearances. And over his last 3 starts against the Angels, 14 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts, and 11 strikeouts. So if you want to get down on a strikeout prop here for Christian Javier as well, if you want to ladder it up all the way up to 10, like I mentioned, he's done in the last 3 starts against the Angels, double-digit strikeouts, and earlier this season as well, back on May 10th, 11 strikeouts. So for my dog, I'm going to go with the Astros -1.5. That number currently on DraftKings is at +120. I think the Astros take care of business with Patrick Sandoval and Christian Javier on the mound here, Scott.
Yeah, so for mine, I'm just going to go with the better team getting a good price. And I do think there's an overvalued pitcher based on name brand as opposed to his performance this season. I'm going to take Detroit on the money line around +130, give or take, +128 against the White Sox. You have Lorenzen against Cease. Cease has really not been good this year. So far this season, 4.88 ERA, 4.45 ERA at home. However, he did just face off against Detroit last start, 4 innings, 4 runs. So he really didn't look good against them last start. And now he's a pretty decent favorite against the Detroit team that, as a reminder, is better than the White Sox because the White Sox are a really underwhelming baseball team. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that we know Chicago's bullpen is one of the worst bullpens in the league. But Lorenzen has been good, simply put. And I do think as a result, Cease is a little bit overvalued here. Detroit, once again, just fared well against him last start. Lorenzen is a 3.5 ERA, 1.1 whip. So he has done a pretty good job of keeping people off the base paths. Now, I am aware his road numbers aren't great, but if you're going through his recent starts, he's been really good more often than not. He's allowed less than 2 earned in 4 of his last 5 starts. In the last start against Chicago, 6 2/3, 2 runs, but none of them were earned. So he did pitch very well and only gave up 2 hits in the entire game. But the point is, Lorenzen is arguably the better starting pitcher so far this season. And based on the overall bullpen and the form of both teams, give me Detroit a plus money. I think the White Sox are just a bad baseball team.
Yeah, I really think you're right. I think it's just a more of a fade of Dylan Cease, man. I mean, he just hasn't been very good this far this season. I don't know if it's the pitch clock that's affecting him, but if you kind of go through his numbers, he's prone to giving up the runs for the Chicago White Sox. And I thought this number was a little bit inflated as well. Historically, Dylan Cease has done well against the Tigers, but this guy is a different, completely different pitcher thus far this season. And on the road, he is 2-1, but the ERA is at a 5.34. And then at home, 1-2 with a 4.45 ERA. So slightly worse on the road, but at home, he hasn't been able to get the wins for the White Sox. Does have 19 walks in 32 1/3 innings pitched at home as well. So I know the Tigers are missing some guys, but again, with Dylan Cease almost looking like he's throwing batting practice out there in some of these starts, this could be a sneaky play. I think that that's just the overvaluation of Dylan Cease here.
They are missing some guys, don't get me wrong, but I got to look at that price alone and just acknowledge that the White Sox being roughly a minus 145, minus 150 favorite, I just can't do it. It's more of a bet on principle because Detroit has been a pleasant surprise so far in that division after that really bad start. I'm aware they're shorthanded. The Green injury doesn't help. I believe he's going to be out for potentially the rest of the year, so that's a bit of a concern. Yeah. But I got to go with the numbers, and the numbers suggest the White Sox should really be probably minus 120 in this game, minus 130, but around minus 150 and change, that's a little bit too high for me. I'm going to go with the value with the better team.
All right. Let's get over to our locks for the Saturday schedule. Let's see here. I am going to go with Texas Rangers on the line here. And Cicero is going to be Marco Gonzalez for the Seattle Mariners. And Andrew Haney gets a start here for the Texas Rangers. Currently on DraftKings, this is at minus 130. And with Marco Gonzalez here of the Seattle season thus far, he is 4-1, but he has a 5.22 ERA. On the road, 3-1. The ERA is at 7.17. Now, I think a lot of those runs came in one start, and I'm trying to be low for me. Let me try another one. Marco Gonzalez, where is he? I think they're the late game tomorrow. Okay, here we go. So, all right, here we go. Like I mentioned, 4-1, 5.22 ERA overall. On the road, 3-1 with the 7.17 ERA. But he's given up eight. He gave up eight earned runs to the Red Sox in one start. He gave up five to the Toronto Blue Jays as well on the road. And I think more so what got me to bet on the Texas Rangers here, Scott, is that they're one of the best teams against left-handed pitching thus far this season. You kind of take a look at their batting numbers. They're number five in team batting against left-handed pitching. On base percentage, they are number one. Slugging, they are number four. OPS, they're number three. And WRC plus, they are number three. So top five in most of those, or in all of the statistical categories that I like looking at. On the other side, Andrew Haney gets a start here for the Texas Rangers. He's been pretty good thus far as well for the Texas Rangers. I know this has been one of those guys that historically or over the last couple of seasons we wanted to fade, but the Rangers have actually won three straight starts when or three straight of his starts by the counts of 11-3, 13-3, and 5-3. And over his last three starts, he's 2-0 with a 0.95 ERA. He's only allowed two earned runs in that span. The ERA is a little inflated at home, where he is 3-2 with a 5.34 ERA. But as great as the Texas Rangers are against left-handed pitching, the Seattle Mariners are bad against left-handed pitching. On the season, the Mariners are number 29 out of 30 teams with a .221 batting average against left-handed pitching. On base percentage, the Seattle Mariners are also number 29. Slugging, they are at number 26. OPS, they are at number 27. And WRC plus, Seattle Mariners are at number 26. So they're bottom five in all of those categories as well. So you have one team absolutely brilliant against left-handed pitching. another team that is absolutely atrocious against left-handed pitching. And Andrew Haney is in better form right now for the Texas Rangers. So I took the Texas Rangers minus 130 as my lock here, Scott, against the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Texas, we know they've been very, very solid this season, especially at home. I watched a decent amount of Seattle over the past couple days because they did face off against the Yankees. They won that one game in extras, 1-0. Let's just say I was not overly impressed by that team. I think that they, of course, were supposed to be really good this season. They're two games over, but looking at them, at least from what I saw in the limited sample size, the bullpen wasn't great. The lineup scored a total of seven runs in the entire series. Texas is 16-8 at home. Bochy's got them playing well. Yeah, you have no arguments for me.
All right, let's get over to your lock, Scott. What do you got?
Yeah, so for my lock, I actually am going to go to another total, but I don't see a current line on it. It's going to be the first five under in the Guardians and Twins game. You have Allen going up against Sonny Gray. I've been a really big fan of both pitchers with their recent form. Allen's been really just a shocking surprise in how he's been really good. I believe he shut down, who was it, Baltimore last time out? He had 10 strikeouts.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, but he was great last time out. Sonny Gray, we know, has been really good this season, and I do think this total, which should be probably around 4, 4.5. It is first five innings, so maybe a juiced 4.5. But the point is, I do think that this line seems a little bit large for the full game total, and I'm expecting both pitchers, or at least one of them, to pitch relatively well. We've roasted the Guardians all season long for not exactly being a good, let's just say, hitting team this season, and I do think you're going to see a lower scoring game because of it. I know it's in Minnesota, which is kind of a hitter's friendly ballpark, but Sonny Gray, 1.94 ERA. He's allowed zero home runs this entire season, 1.27 ERA at home. Now, the last couple starts, he has been a little bit worse, but still giving up around like two earned. So I do think he should pitch well, and Allen's been good too. But for a first five total of probably 4.5, feels a little bit high to me. I'm going to go with the first five under in that Guardians and Twins game.
Yeah, I've said this all throughout the week, especially on the pod, that anytime I do want to back the Twins, it's in the first five innings with Joe Ryan and Sonny Gray on the mound, because those two guys have by far been their best pitchers thus far this season. And like you mentioned, Logan Allen has been surprisingly doing very well for the Guardians here as well. So, yeah, I can see a possibility where the Twins are up 2-1, maybe a 2-2 type of game by the end of five innings. But I trust Sonny Gray at home as well. Like you mentioned, his numbers, he's been fantastic in Minnesota. Let's have a rec 3-0 with a 1.27 ERA. So I don't trust his Twins bullpen. I've seen him multiple times because I've backed Joe Ryan and Sonny Gray in the first five innings. And then I think it was the last two starts with Sonny Gray at home where he was up at the end of five innings. And then the bullpen came and just absolutely gave up a whole bunch of runs. So I think you got it right where you want to take the first five under before the bullpen gets involved for the Minnesota Twins.
For the record, if you have a choice between like a 4 at even money or maybe a minus 130, 4.5, I'll take the 4.5.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. All right, so those are going to be our lock, dog, and total for the Saturday games. Before we just get into the discussion about the AL East division, let me tell everyone about the two contests that are happening right now over on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network app. It's the NBA Finals, which tipped off on Thursday night, and also the Stanley Cup, which starts on Saturday between the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights. Two contests happening for those two final matchups. It's exclusively on the SGPN app. There's series props and game-by-game props. So if you're in those contests, it's a good reminder, make sure you go back into those contests because there are prop bets for a game-by-game basis, not just a series-long prop. So make sure you get in there. Those points are going to add up. Winner of each contest gets a $100 SGPN gift card. Download the SGPN app and enter today exclusively, like I mentioned, on the SGPN app.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, Scott, as part of the Friday show that we do here on the MLB Gambling Podcast, I usually like to take the Fridays and kind of look at some future odds or kind of get, division updates where we kind of stand right now. Over the last 2 weeks, we did the other two AL divisions between the AL West, AL West and the AL Central. And I think it's kind of fitting that I have you on the pod today and we get to talk about the AL East division. So currently looking at it, the Rays came firing out of the gate. They are still in control of the AL East division. I'm quickly trying to pull up the standings here. Give me 1 second. So right now, the Rays have a record of 40.
The Rays are 40 right now.
Yeah. They have a 4-game lead over the Baltimore Orioles, who are in second place at 35-21. Now, Scott, the interesting part about this division is that every single team in this division is above 500. The last place team, the team that I am a fan of, but the Boston Red Sox, are sitting at 29-27. And they're 10 games back of first place of the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, kind of put that in perspective, if they were in the AL Central division, they would be in second place right now, half a game behind the Minnesota Twins, and they would be tied with the Seattle Mariners for third place in the AL West division. But I guess we kind of go team by team here, kind of give some thoughts here, and then we'll, also let me update on the division odds right now. Then we'll kind of go team by team and see if we can maybe find some value here and get down on some future bets here for this division, whether it's division winner or league winner, make miss playoffs. So currently as it stands, the Rays are a -190 favorite to win this AL East division, followed by your Yankees here, Scott, at +320, the Blue Jays +950, Orioles are 10-1, and the Red Sox are a woeful 45 to 1 to win the AL East division. And we saw the Rays come firing out of the gate. They had some easy opponents to start the division. I believe it was the Nationals, the A's. God, I forgot who the other team was, but they're 22 games above 500 right now, 40-18, have a run differential right now of +119, which is the best by far. The second best in the entire MLB. The Rangers are the number one team as far as run differential at +131. But Scott, what have you kind of seen from the Tampa Bay Rays team that has led to their success so far this season?
Well, for the most part, it's just Tampa Bay being extremely consistent with the next man up mentality in terms of either injuries or just based on the lineup. They do have a couple of power hitters because they had the insane home run streak, which was carrying on. But it really does seem like the Rays can just get production from anywhere. And It does seem like they are willing to do their job. They're willing to work some counts. For the most part, Arozarena is a free swinger, let's be real, but still. Yeah. For the most part, they work some counts, they try to get deep into the bullpen, and they also aren't afraid of doing what needs to be done. They'll occasionally sack bunt, they'll make a lot of great defensive plays, and it does seem like the Rays are just a fundamentally sound baseball team. But you mentioned it before, they started the season facing off against Detroit, the Nationals, the Athletics, and the Red Sox, and they started 13-0. So if you take the 13-0 out, then they are only roughly 9 games above 500, which is still very good. But the point is the record was inflated based on how awful their opponents were to start the season. The Red Sox wins aged pretty well compared to the rest, but the point, and Detroit, I guess, did too. But the point is the Rays are still a very good baseball team. The surprise with this team, though, the bullpen has really not been that good, and that's always been the strength of this team. I can definitely see them trading for a couple of bullpen arms. They gave Diekman a try, which tells you how bad their bullpen's been, because I don't wish Diekman on anybody in their bullpen. I know as a Red Sox fan, I'm sure you can relate to it because you saw him pitch with your team. Not very good. But the point is the Rays are just a fundamentally sound baseball team. The problem is, do they score a lot when they don't hit home runs? Not really, but that's the name of baseball today, so I guess that's not even an insult at this point. But they're very good at home. They are a fundamentally sound team. Cash is one of the best managers in the league, but I have to at least point out that bullpen could use some work.
Yeah, I agree. That was exactly my point I was going to make as well, is that the bullpen, surprisingly, which has been historically very good for the Rays, has been kind of their downfall this season. So I think, yeah, definitely 100%. With the way they are right now, they are going to make some moves to create some more arms in the bullpen. I know they are dealing with some injuries in the bullpen as well. But this team has been very surprising for me because I did take the under on their win total. It's not looking very good right now for me. Actually, I could probably wipe my ass with that ticket right now. But, you know, they're off to a good start. They have a 4-game lead above the next team, the Baltimore Orioles, who I did take the over on. We're out to a good start this season, 35-21 as it stands. They're 17-12 at home. But on the road, they've been very good so far this season, 18-9. They have a run differential of plus 28. What have you kind of seen from this Baltimore Orioles team? Because they have a lot of great young pieces that I think set up very well for the future of this team.
Yeah, the way that I see it, Baltimore was a team that seemed to have peaked, maybe, or I wouldn't say peaked, but they bursted onto the scene maybe a bit too early, and it kind of caught people up by surprise. But they proved last year they had all of the makings in terms of roster, just talent and overall managing and everything like that. They had the foundation in place to be a playoff team. And it seemed like everything kind of came together when they called up Rushman last year, who is arguably already the best catcher in the league. You can make an argument. I'm not sure if he's number one. Yeah. He's definitely top three, but they definitely seem to have everything in place to be a threat for a playoff spot or even a division title. I really like this team. I think that the lineup's very solid. I like Mountcastle a lot. Mullins, of course, is a very good leadoff hitter. We know that Rushman is not just great as a catcher, but can also hit very well. They have a lot of pieces. Now, the problem with this team, you can argue about the rotation and how they could use maybe one more reliable arm. I know that they have some good production from Bradish, and they're using Wells, who's been pretty good so far this season. Historically speaking, I've never been a Wells guy. I don't think he's very good, but he's been good so far this season. It does seem like they could use another arm. The bullpen, I think, is fine for the most part. Maybe they could use another guy, but I do think that the bullpen is in pretty decent shape so far. I think they could use another piece of a rotation for the rotation, maybe a veteran you bring in on a one-year rental kind of thing. But for the most part, it seems like this team had a run last year. They fizzled a bit either because of just overall inexperience or maybe a lack of firepower with the backup, or I just say the depth of this roster. But I like the Orioles. I think they're a good team. Will they win the division? Probably not. But I think they'll be in the running in September.
Do you think they get a playoff spot?
I think they do. Okay. I mean, the AL East is murderer's row at this point, so it's really a tough call. I'm lower on another team we're about to talk about in a second, but Baltimore I like. I think they have the foundation of a playoff team. You?
Yeah, I agree. This was one of the teams last year we talked about that in the next this year and the next year, they're going to be set up to very well to compete in this AL East division for all the reasons that you mentioned, right? They have some great great players, like you mentioned, Cedric Mullins, Adley Rushman. You could make the argument that is the best catcher in the entire league. Definitely, like you mentioned, if not top three, for sure. I think they just have to make improvements on the in the pitching rotation. The bullpen as a ERA, team ERA for bullpen, they are the sixth best. So not a lot of concerns there. But again, I think that they do need to address starting pitching and get like a frontline bona fide ace for that front end of the bullpen. Sorry, of the rotation. Right now, you mentioned some of the names, Tyler Wells and Kyle Gibson is in this rotation as well. when they had John Means before the injury, he was very, very good. He was a cash cow before the injury, but you know, he got derailed with that. But I think that they will address that starting pitching. And I think, again, to be competitive in this division, they're going to have to keep up and have great starting pitching, because I'm not worried about this offense. You named the guys that these guys can hit the baseball, but it just comes down to pitching at the end of the day. Bullpen, like I said, it's in great shape. It's just the starting pitching that we do have concerns about for this Baltimore Orioles team. But again, hey, they've been one of the pleasant surprises thus far this season. 35-21, like I mentioned, only four games back in this division behind the Tampa Bay Rays. The next team that we'll talk about here is the New York Yankees. Scott, this is your team, currently sitting at 34-24. Six games back, they are 19-13 at home, 15-11 on the road. They have a +40 run differential. I'll let you take the floor here, man. I want you to lead off with here with your Yankees. What are you thinking about this team?
As a fan, so far, I'm pleased. Could they be better? Yes. Could they be worse? Yes. I think that they're fine. I think they're on pace for a classic, like 91-win season, 92-win season, something like that. They battled injuries because Stan got hurt. What else is new? He's supposed to come back, I believe, tonight. So they are going to be getting some reinforcements back. But Stan has not played for a long time, and they were able to kind of hold serve. Judge missed about a week or so on the IL. Rizzo got injured. I don't believe he's returned to the lineup yet, but he's been out with a bit of a neck issue. So the point is, the Yankees have battled some injuries, and as a result, Donaldson, I'm not a fan of him, but he's also coming back. He's joining Stan for the upcoming series. So the Yankees, with the injuries they've had, they've been good. The problem is, I still am not totally sold on the depth of this team, and most importantly, Aaron Boone. I don't think he's a good manager. I feel like that's well documented. I feel a lot of people feel that way. But the Yankees, you know, will always buy at the deadline. They did that last year for Montas, who might be out for the year, so he's not going to help them at all. But through it, for a team that's been relatively injured, they've been pretty good. I don't think they're going to be able to win the division, though. I just think that the bullpen, I know the stats are pretty good for the bullpen. They don't really have a closer. They're kind of alternating between King and a little bit of Holmes, and I'm not a Holmes guy because he walks half the team. Half the time he's on the actual mound. But the Yankees are fine. They're in good shape. If you have faith in Stanton and Donaldson and Judge to stay healthy and contribute, then you probably like their chances. I'm skeptical. As for the rotation, they've been pretty good. Cole has been a bit hit or miss lately, where the home runs were not an issue for the first month or two. And now recently the home runs have come back and he's had some bad starts. He got the win against San Diego anyway because they killed Darvish, but he was not very good in that outing either. But besides him, Cortez is good for about 4 2/3. Then he falls apart in the fifth inning. Besides that, you're looking at the other guys in the rotation. Clark Schmidt was good last start against Seattle. I think we all know my opinions on him. I'm not a fan of Clark Schmidt. The point is they're scrambling because Rodon has not pitched a single inning. Montas is probably out for the year. I don't know when Rodon would come back, but if you think the injured players will come back and contribute, then they might be a good buy low candidate. I'm skeptical. I think this is a third place team, in my opinion. A playoff team, but a third place team.
I thought Anthony Volpe so far this season.
Volpe's been hit or miss because I'm not surprised that a rookie is batting around 200. That doesn't surprise me. The Yankees, with their minor league guys, have tended to bat poorly. And you can look at even the current minor leaguers. Dominguez is batting like 190. You can go down the line. A lot of the Yankees minor league guys have really bad batting averages in the minors, and that's kind of been their thing. That's not something they prioritize. Volpe's had some issues at the plate. He's had some issues in the field, but he's been a really good base runner. Steals a bunch of bases. Puts pressure on opposing pitchers and catchers. For the most part, he's been a winning baseball player. I don't have his WAR in front of me, but I believe it's a positive WAR by at least a run, right?
Yeah, I'll try to dig that up here if I can here. But
the point is, I'm not surprised that he's had some struggles. Here. I'm not surprised he's had some bright spots. I'm a fan of him. He definitely needs to pick it up more in terms of actually getting hits because it's been a rough month for him. But he does do a lot of small things that I've wanted the Yankees to do for a long time, mostly steal bases. And I think he does contribute to winning baseball. But there are a couple of things he has to improve on.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it, right? For this team, it's really been about the injuries, right? They've had guys in the pitching rotation that have been in and out. I know they get Severino back tonight in LA, if I'm not mistaken. He's getting the start here tonight. And then, like you mentioned, Judge missed a week or two there. You get Stan back here as well. So you get Rizzo back soon. So that he said, or Boone said that as of 2 days ago, he was available off the bench in an emergency situation. So I think, still think they're being cautious with Anthony Rizzo. But, I mean, those are a couple big bats, obviously.
Question, by the way. Emergency situation. Yeah. Bases loaded, 2 out, 0-0, top of the 10th. Is that not an emergency situation?
That is a very much an emergency situation.
Because they use Cordero instead. Mm-hmm. So the emergency thing, I don't buy. Because that was the perfect spot for Rizzo to come up to the plate, and he didn't come up to the plate.
Yeah, to answer your question, Volpe exactly at a 1.0 WAR so far this season. For
that's what I'm saying, winning baseball player, not by a lot, but a winning baseball player. So
yeah, and he's only one of three players that has a one or better WAR. 1.7 for Rizzo, 2.5 Aaron Judge, no shock there, and then Volpe's a third guy at 1.0.
That's what I'm saying. So you can look at the batting average, you can look at the errors, and yes, I know there are some problems. But the WAR speaks for itself. His ability to create chaos on the base paths generates extra opportunities for the guys behind him in the lineup. That's helped out a lot. So I still like Volpe. He's a rookie too, so people are going to suddenly like roast the kid. He'll figure it out as he goes. It could be better, but it could be a lot worse. It could be like Gunnar Henderson. Henderson's been a disaster for the most part.
He's been really bad. But Volpe, Torkelson, I mean, look.
Last year, that was a mess.
Jared Kelenic when he first came up for the Mariners.
It takes time. I'm not going to panic over a first-year batting average.
Yeah, I mean, 194, I mean, yeah, he's a rookie, but he still does have 8 home runs, 24 RBIs, and leads his team in stolen bases at 13 stolen bases. He's the only player that is in double digits. Nobody's even remotely close. You have 6 for Harrison Bader, 5 for Gleyber Torres, Cabrera 5, and IKF also has 5. So, like you mentioned, he's done a great job on the bases for the New York Yankees. Getting over to the next team in this division, which probably had the most hype, I guess, coming into this year, was the Toronto Blue Jays for a lot of people. They are currently fourth in this division. That's sitting at 30-27, 9.5 games back of the division lead, 15-10 at home, 15-17 on the road. They do have a plus 25 run differential, Scott. And I think the biggest thing for this team is that baseball fans, and I think a lot of Toronto Blue Jays fans, are just not a fan of this manager. I think it starts there for this team. On paper, this team looks like they should be a World Series contender, and they've been in that conversation for a lot of people over the last couple years here. But I just don't think they have that manager the manager right now is not the right guy, John Schneider, for this team. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, and then as a team as a whole here for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think that he's a bad manager, and I think they're going to miss the playoffs. So I'm not a fan. You're looking at the lineup. Bichette, we know, is leading the AL in hits. His batting average is insane. He's been really good. Guerrero, can we just be honest and say we expected a lot more out of him?
I think the expectation that every person has every single year for Vlad has been, okay, this guy needs to go out and hit 50 home runs and bat 300. But
his numbers are fine. Like, it's 285, 8 home runs, 35 RBIs. But I feel like as soon as he got called up, people were expecting like serious MVP candidate level production. He's been good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Of course, he had the insane year where he batted 311 in 2021 with 48 home runs. He had 32 home runs and 97 RBIs the year after.
Yeah.
But I feel like people were expecting the 40 plus home runs, 100 plus RBIs virtually every year. And that really has not been the case.
Yeah. I agree. Bo Bichette has been the guy for this team thus far this year. He has the WAR of 3.2. He's batting .332 thus far this season. 12 home runs, leads this Blue Jays team, 39 RBIs, also leads his team, 130 total bases, leads his team as well. But yeah, I mean, look, they're kind of middle of the pack here. There's been a lot of hype. They're very top heavy in at the top of their pitching lineup. Their batting lineup with Bo Bichette. Springer has been a little bit underwhelming since he came up from the Astros. I know he's been dealing with a lot of injuries since he came over to Toronto. And we just talked about Vlad, how a lot of people have that expectation of him being a minimum 300 batter, expecting him to hit 40, 50 home runs every single year and have 100 plus RBIs.
And Chapman was insane out of the gates, but ever since the first month, he's been really, really bad.
Yeah. And then after that, it's really a big drop off. I mean, Kevin Kiermaier, he is batting 311. 295.
He's been really good for them. That kind of shocked,
especially in center field. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree. I really like the pickup when they picked him up, especially because they made that defensive shift in their outfield with the guys that they did bring in. But it's just a manager thing, man. I mean, I don't know how many wins he's worth, but this team should be a lot better than they are right now, Scott.
Also, we didn't mention, if we're talking about struggling batters, I got to mention Kirk, who batted 285 last year. Yeah. He's down to 252. Base percentage is still fine at 353, but you kind of expected more than two home runs, 14 RBIs at this point in his career, at this point in the season, I mean. So it does feel like Toronto's offense is pretty top-heavy, which is why the offense is kind of underachieved up to this point.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of the manager. The rotation. Berrios has been okay at home. On the road, he's been a mess. Gausman's been good for the most part. Kikuchi peaked about a month ago, and he's been a mess for the last couple of weeks. Do you have any other thoughts? Like, I don't think their pitching staff's that good.
It's not. And I, on paper, coming into this year and last year, I thought they would be very, very good. But it's really been their quote-unquote ace, who's been absolutely atrocious so far this season, and that is Alek Manoah. 5.46 ERA, a whip of 1.77. He's pitched 57 and two-thirds innings, and he's allowed a total of 35 earned runs in that span. He's given up 10 home runs. Three of their five stars have allowed 10-plus home runs thus far this season, and he's allowed a team-high 41 walks thus far this season. Now, kind of put that in perspective here, Scott. The next guy that's given up the most amount of walks is Chris Bassitt at 26. Kevin Gausman, again, has been very, very good for this team. He's already had 100 strikeouts. He has a strikeout per nine innings at around 12. But other than that, it's been pretty underwhelming for that starting rotation, which had, I think, a lot of hopes coming into the season. Kikuchi does lead this team in wins at 6-2. But again, I think we're going to start seeing the Kikuchi that we're used to seeing versus the guy that, you know, like before he peaked, like you mentioned. So it's been kind of meh for this rotation. Again, we talk about the potential is definitely there with this team. It's just I don't think they have that guy at the manager spot to kind of put it all together and put this team in the right situations for them to translate to more wins.
Yeah, and just mentioning quickly the ERAs. I know ERA can argue is a flawed stat, but still, I'm just going to use it for the sake of this. Gausman's 276. We know he's been very good. Bassett's at 380. He's been fine. Berrios is at 386. Same thing. Fine. Not worth the contract, but fine. Manoah's been demotable. I mean, he's at 546. Kikuchi's at 447. So you see my point. Yeah, you have one guy below 379 in ERA. So that's not a good look for a rotation. I'm still really confused what the plan is for Nate Pearson, who's been their top prospect for several years, and now they're using him as like a two-inning bullpen guy.
Yeah.
Do you flip him for Manoah? Like, are they going to use Pearson in the rotation, or is he just your middle relief guy because he was such a hyped up prospect and he's barely started any games in the last couple of years for your team?
Yeah. At some point, you got to give him a start or do something different,
you
right?
You can't because, keep using Manoah out there. You can't.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if soon we see Manoah ends up on the 15-day IL just to kind of give him a couple
of mystery diagnosis.
Yeah. Give him a mystery diagnosis just to give some time off to kind of get his head together. But yeah, I think this Blue Jays team, if they keep up the way that they are definitely going to miss the playoffs because that AL West division is very competitive as well. And then the top three teams, as we discussed in this AL East division, all have records of, I think, 14 games or better above 500, at least the top two teams. So we'll see how it kind of pans out and how long they do stay with they stay with John Schneider as the manager for this Toronto Blue Jays team, which brings us to the last team in this division, the Boston Red Sox, which I think everybody did project for them to be one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the American League East. They do have a record of 29-27. But the biggest flaw or the biggest downfall of this team
pitching
is pitching. I mean, you don't have a single guy except for Brian Bello, who has an ERA below four.
Chris Sale got hurt again.
Yeah. He got pulled early in the, I think it was the fourth inning yesterday, waiting for results on the MRI, but he got off to a rough start, started looking like a guy, maybe not of pre-injury, but he was
good.
Pitching well.
He did.
But he still has an ERA at 4.58, Tanner Houck 5.3, Nick Pivetta 5.54, Corey Kluber 6.26. It was a huge red flag when you had Corey Kluber being your opening day starter for this Red Sox team. And that's really been the story for this team. Offensively, this team has been good. I mean, we know that they can put up runs, right? When you have guys like Rafael Devers, I know he's only batting 252, but kind of take a look at some of the batting average for the other players on this team. Justin Turner, 267. Alex Verdugo, 288. The biggest surprise, not surprise, but I think the one consistent guy has been their rookie from Japan, Yoshida, who's batting 312.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's been really good.
He's so good.
But after that, it's kind of been guys that are trying to fill the void for this team. And again, I expect this team to kind of be where they are, finish around 500, maybe with a record of 80 and 82, 81, 81. I do expect them to miss the playoffs. But there's a lot of more question marks about this team and the direction that they want to go than answers right now for this team about this Red Sox. So as a Red Sox fan, you're not really optimistic. You're kind of, you know, weathering the storm and seeing what happens with this team. But I don't know, Scott, give me your thoughts about this team.
So I don't think the Red Sox are going to win the division.
No.
They probably won't make the playoffs.
No.
Having said that, they're half a game behind Toronto, just for the sake of the standings. They're currently 10 back. Yeah. Toronto's a 9.5 back. You're telling me, separated by half a game, the Blue Jays should be 9-1, give or take, and the Red Sox should be 45-1? Separated by half a game? Really?
Yeah. And then the Orioles are, what, 9-1, right?
Yeah, give or take. I saw 40-1 on the Red Sox. Yeah. You said 45, so I'm
assuming 45-1 on DraftKings.
Okay, so the point is that you're getting roughly five times your money just by betting on the Red Sox. And yeah, even though I don't exactly like the pitching staff for Toronto or Boston, Toronto's is better, if we're being honest. But I think we can agree that the Red Sox have a significantly better manager, and it's not even close. Would you say Boston has a top five manager in the league, top three manager in the league?
Five? I would probably say top five, yeah. I'll say five.
Toronto has, what, a bottom five?
Bottom three.
Probably.
Maybe the worst.
So since I think both teams don't have a realistic shot to win the division, I think that there's better odds on Boston by a wide margin. If I had to price it myself, I would have Toronto at like 12 or 13-1.
Yeah.
And I'd probably have Boston around the same price. I think they're kind of neck and neck. Toronto should maybe still be a cheaper option because they have more talent on the roster, if we're being honest. But I do think those odds are absurd comparing them in the market. So if I had to pick one of the two long shots, so to speak, Boston would be my long shot flyer Hail Mary play. It's not going to get there. I think that Boston could maybe make a case for a playoff push, but in reality, will they trade people at the deadline? Maybe.
Yeah.
Besides Devers, they kind of traded off half the team, so they might be selling. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think the only two safe bets on this team right now are probably Yoshida and Rafael Devers because they did sell.
You can't move Sale if you want to. So he's going to be there.
Yeah. And they're kind of looking at the make or miss playoff odds here before we wrap up the show for the sake of argument. Kind of going down the list, the Red Sox right now, plus 360 to make the playoffs, miss the playoffs, minus 450. For the New York Yankees, to make the playoffs, minus 425. No is at plus 340. Orioles, yes, minus 105. No, minus 115. And then going down further on the list, I think this is probably where our bet is going to be, Scott. Blue Jays, yes, minus 130. The no is at plus 110.
Yeah.
And then for the Rays, obviously minus 2,500 to make the playoffs, and then no is at 13-1. So
what makes it tricky this year is that in past years, it was the AL East getting roughly three teams in for at least the play-in minimum. Mm-hmm. Now Texas is actually good. So you might get another team in another division who's actually the AL West might get two teams in, which doesn't typically happen because Houston usually runs away with the division in the first month. We saw Seattle last year, though, do the same thing. So assuming the AL West does take two spots, that's another spot taken away from Toronto because we're not picking them to win the division. I do like Baltimore in general, the minus 105, but my favorite play has to be fading Toronto. I'm not going to compare it to the Celtics because that implies that the Toronto on paper are a top five team in the league, which they're not. But they are a lot worse based on who's in charge of making the decisions. Toronto, I think, will finish around 500.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look at it, right? So, and just to compare it to the American League West, because we know the Central's only going to have one team that comes out of the division, which is going to be the division winner, unless somebody goes on some crazy, insane run. Don't think that's going to happen. So right now, I think Texas and Houston get in, and then Tampa obviously gets in. And then the conversation then starts with Baltimore, New York, Seattle, and then maybe you could throw in the Angels into that conversation because the Angels right now are sitting at 30 and 28.
That's a lot of teams to compete with definitely an inferior manager.
Yeah, I agree. So our $100 free bet roll, if we each gave us ourselves $100, we probably put that or we'll put that on the Blue Jays to miss the playoffs at plus 110 on DraftKings right now. Definitely shop around. There's probably better numbers out there for the Blue Jays to miss the playoffs. But as of right now, plus 110 on DraftKings is what I'm saying. And as I say that, the AL East division, I think because a game may be starting here, the division odds did get pulled or somebody is listening to the pod. But anything in the division that intrigued you there, Scott, or do you think just the Rays are going to run away with this thing?
I think that Tampa wins the division. But if I had to go for value, I'd probably look at Baltimore. The Yankees, you can make an argument, have the firepower if they're getting everybody back, but that implies that Judge and Stanton and Rizzo and Donaldson and the pitching staff, which has already been banged up, just stay healthy the rest of the year, which I don't believe in. Now, Mullins is a bit banged up for the Orioles. That's unfortunate. But you're looking at how the Orioles have played so far this season. They really do check a lot of boxes for a team that could win the division. They're young. They're hungry. They have a decent overall farm system. So they could buy at the deadline if they really want reinforcements. You have a disgruntled star. Maybe they make a push. Not a Juan Soto trade. You get the point from San Diego last year. But maybe they find somebody they're interested in to bolster some piece of their team. I think you can make an argument that this team has the pieces in place to make a division run. And they're already in second place. They're only four back. And you could find them at around 10 to 1, give or take. I think it's a good price. I think Tampa probably wins the division. But if you want to talk about who will be within striking distance in September, give me a 10 to 1 shot on Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's probably my favorite play as well, at 10 to 1.
I think we see it eye to eye, though. We think Tampa's going to get there, but we're not going to late 30.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, anything else, Scott, for the MLB overall or for this AL East division before we get out of here?
Not really. If you want the lock, total, and dog picks, I don't remember mine, so I gave it out earlier in the show. But yeah, for the AL East, I think we covered everything. For the most part, it does seem like the battle will be between Baltimore and Toronto, according to the odds. Yeah. So I think that Toronto is inferior to Baltimore. Baltimore to make the playoffs is tempting, but the miss playoff market's definitely the attractive option of plus money because you need a lot more things to go right than go wrong in order to make the playoffs, and it's a lot easier for things to go wrong than right. I believe that makes sense when I said it in my head. I think that came out correctly, but you get my point. Toronto needs a lot to go right, and we haven't even talked about the injuries. Kiermaier gets hurt every year. Springer gets hurt every year. Vlad might miss some time. Maybe some starters miss some time. And they're already underwhelming. It can get a lot worse quicker before it gets better. I'm in for fading Toronto.
Yep, I agree. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast. Another Futures Friday discussion topic done. We are done with the American League teams, and then next week we'll start maybe with some player awards markets, or we'll talk about the National League division. So again, stay tuned for that next Friday, and then we'll reconvene as usual next week, starting on probably Sunday night to talk about the Monday game. So again, make sure, this is a good time to remind everybody, make sure to follow the Twitter account for the MLB Gambling Podcast, at MLBSGPN. And if you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel here for the MLB Gambling Podcast, do so and make sure you hit that like button for us before you guys get out of here. Make sure to follow Scott on Twitter at Reichel Radio. Hopefully, maybe he has some more 9-to-1 tickets in his pocket for the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Definitely check him out there. Scott, I'm going to let you get out of here so you can celebrate. But any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Not really. Just looking forward to the rest of the French Open. Should be doing another episode for the fourth round. I've been trying to do episodes per round. So a lot of tennis content. It's going to wrap around until next week. It ends on Sunday. So a lot of tennis. And besides that, of course, we got the NBA Finals. That's kind of important. So we have podcasts for that. WNBA show we have as well. I'm on a lot of shows. There's a lot of content at SGPN, and there's a lot of money to be made. Besides, before we officially wrap up, do we want to quickly run through our three plays? I was kind of joking before when I said that I forgot what they were, but we did give them out about half an hour ago. Do you want to just run through them one more time?
Yeah, let's do that before we get out of here. So we'll start with our locks. My lock is going to be the Texas Rangers money line. Scott, your lock was?
My lock was the first five under, probably 4.5 in that Guardians and Twins game with Allen versus Gray.
All right. And then my dog of the day for Saturday is going to be the Astros on the run line, -1.5 plus 120 is what I remember seeing, with Christian Javier and Patrick Sandoval on the mound for the Angels. Scott, your dog was?
My dog was the Tigers money line at around plus 128. The White Sox are laying 152. I don't care who's on the mound. That's a ridiculous price.
And then our totals, I am going with the Braves team total over. My guess is probably going to be a 5.5. You'll maybe be able to find a 5 out there, but just really fading Ryan Nelson, who's been atrocious. 6 starts this season. The over is 5-1 in his games. The opposition in those games have scored. Let's see here quickly, because I was able to get it. 9-5-5. So I think this Braves team can get over that line of at least 6 runs in this game against Ryan Nelson. And then Scott, your total for Saturday was?
I had the over 10 in the Brewers and Reds game. I hope they don't score too much today because they have 5 runs through the first 3 innings, but I got the over 10 in that one. It's in Great American. Ashcraft has not been very good. I'm not a fan of Rhea. And the last time I checked, Ashcraft is a righty, so I don't have to worry about Milwaukee's terrible numbers against lefties. I'm on the over 10.
All right. Hopefully we can at least have it a profitable Saturday between myself and
one more
Scott.
Thing, by the way. Yeah, quick shout out to our friend Adam Rosenberg, who suggested to me to use my bet boost from FanDuel on Jonathan India home run, who hit a bomb in the 3rd inning. Thank you very much. Shout out to you.
What was the odds on that?
It was initially at, I believe, 6-1, but I'm pretty sure with the token boost, it boosted to like plus 730, I think.
Ooh, nice.
So it was like a $25 max, but still, appreciate it. Let me just pull it up quickly. It was plus 780.
There you go. There we go. So plus 780 cash. Yeah. Adam, Adam, if you aren't in the Discord, you guys need to get into the Discord for the MLB channel. I mean, that channel was popping off as soon as 8 a.m. in the morning, guys dropping their plays in there. So definitely, again, get in there. People putting in their plays, Adam putting in his home run prop bets and all that good stuff. Cashes more times than not. So another 7-1.
First time I've ever hit a home run prop in my life. I was like 0-50. Listen to this guy just blindly tail him. Like, you know, maybe I told him, like, maybe steer. He's like, no, it's India. I'm like, okay, I'll believe you. I don't know what I'm doing. And then it just immediately cashes. So, yeah, he's a wizard when it comes to home run props.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we'll be back next week for the MLB schedule. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride.